Hey, friends. There's a few dates in particular coming up, which I'd like to see as many 12 and a half as possible in the next few months. March 15th and 16th, I'll be headlining Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. April 5th, I'll be at the Last Best Comedy Club in Bozeman, Montana. I'd love it if we could get some 12 and a half in the crowd for those particular dates. And the first week of May, I'll be at the MGM in Las Vegas. Be fun to party with you there. TJ will be in Syracuse February 16th and 17th. Raleigh, North Carolina, the Improv, March 8th and 9th. And if you want more details about his dates, go to tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. And enjoy the show. Thanks for listening. Hey, friends. Got a few upcoming dates to tell you about. TJ and I will both be in Raleigh, North Carolina at Goodnights this weekend. That's the 31st through the 2nd of February. I will be headlining Salt Lake City Wise Guys February 14th. I'll be in Ogden at Wise Guys February 15th and 16th. TJ will be in San Jose at the Improv February 22nd through the 24th. And then we'll be together in Richmond, Virginia, March 1st and 2nd. I will be headlining the 28th and the 3rd in Richmond, Virginia. And then we have one last date I wanted to tell you about that I'm really excited about, the Irvine Improv. That's the 8th through the 10th of March, and we should be doing a live podcast sometime during that weekend, so keep an eye out for us. Thanks for listening.
Answering the questions you don't have. Deep conversations in the shallow end. Two men with lots of ideas and less than an hour. Intelligent-ish. This is Cashing In with TJ Miller.
I'm back in St. Louis, my birthplace. A lot of people don't realize I was born in St. Louis. I moved about 2 months later. It's my first time back to my homeland. The prodigal son, prodigal son returns. Anyway, I'm back at the hospital where I was born, just to try to find the person who birthed me. Kind of get back to my roots. I'm kind of looking into what happened on that day. I want to make sure I am who they say I am. Who are you? Who? Oh, there's a baby. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot going on here at this hospital. It's just so crazy. I came here to do stand-up comedy. And now I'm over at the hospital I was actually born, and I feel a connection to this place. I don't know what it is.
Mrs. Rayburn, yes.
And I'm not sure what that was, but I'm just going from room to room here. In any event, I'm going to find out. I was told I was born in this next room that I'm about to go to, and I was told I was born there, and perhaps the person that birthed me is inside this room. This is very exciting. I'm going to interview him for my podcast, Cashing In. As you know, sometimes I have trouble getting guests, so I think this is going to be a great interview. Here we go.
Nurse?
Oh.
Nurse, I need... Hi. Nurse, I need 10 cc's and 40 other cc's. Quickly.
I'm not the nurse.
Now, tell me...
My name's Cash.
Tell me the status of the cardiac arrest. Quickly, nurse.
Sir, you look familiar. Can you take off that oxygen mask you're wearing?
Nurse.
It's weird. I don't understand why you're wearing an oxygen mask. Isn't it your patient that needs that?
Nurse. Nurse, what are you thinking?
I'm just going to grab my comb.
Okay.
I'm just separating your hairs,
Thank you, nurse. Thank you for separating my hair.
I feel like I'm sort of intruding here.
Wait, hold on.
Wait.
Cash.
Wait, what the?
What the?
Who the? Who are
you? You did not go! Darn it!
I'm here in St. Louis to try to find out the person that birthed me. What are you doing inside this hospital room?
I work here part-time.
God, you wear a lot of hats.
Every year I do. And sometimes I wear them underneath of them. So sometimes I'll take off a top hat and I've got on
you got a hat underneath,
fedora.
A little beanie or whatever else.
Take that off and I've got a yarmulke.
Yeah.
Which is a yarmulke that I got from you. A yarmulke.
And so, it's a yarmulke you got in Yuma, Arizona.
Yuma 310 to Yuma. Great movie, great remake. Yeah. Dad's home for Christmas.
Daddy came home for Christmas. Well, it's good to see you, buddy. I had no idea you worked here. Now,
once a year. Yeah, I do a weekend here.
Okay.
And
residency? Short residency for
it's
you?
It's the shortest residency in the United States. It's actually only 36 hours. But yeah. I do come here. You see, my great-great-great-great-grandfather was a OBGYN.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He delivered babies for a living. It was a hobby at first. And then he just took to it so much, he thought, you know, could I actually make a living at this? And so, sure, it was fun. And he was, you know, doing it after school and on the weekends. And if he'd see a pregnant lady.
He would just dabble? He was dabbling?
He was dabbling. He was a dilettante.
He was a OBGYN. He was dabbling.
He's dabbling.
A dabbler.
He was a dilettante.
A dabblergen.
And a dabbler Oberwin.
Yeah, yeah.
And dabbler Oberwin. And he, you know, he delivered, started delivering babies, you know, as a part-time job. He had a paper route, yeah, and then he was delivering some babies. Sometimes just for practice, if he saw a woman who was pregnant, he would induce birthing right then and there.
Yeah. They don't often induce comas, do they? And does anyone ever induce comas?
He only,
it's always birthing.
He only once asked a woman if she was pregnant from being on
from
stage.
From the stage, yeah. I'm looking for a guy named Frank Dillywacker.
What?
That's the guy that actually birthed me.
What?
Frank Dillywacker.
Well, you know that Miller is my maiden name.
Are you serious?
It was my name until I got married to Kate.
Yeah.
Whose last name was actually coincidentally also Miller.
Yeah.
And
that was convenient.
Old Horny Gorny. Yeah. I got to tell you, I am... Good thing she doesn't listen to the podcast. So... I had a, I can't believe it.
Do you think all podcasters at that point feel this way about their spouse? Good thing she's not listening to this.
Mr. Dillywacker
yeah.
is my great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Your great-great-great-great-grandfather
yes.
birthed me? Frank Dillywacker?
Yes. And
he was the guy, the dabbler? Dabbling Dilly?
I am the good grandson of Frank Dillywacker.
You're the good one.
Yeah.
Wow.
He had a great, 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 great grandson, but I was just a good grandson.
Okay. Wow. Two things. One, I didn't know there were good grandsons. Number two, I'm a lot older.
Than being
I'm a lot older than I had thought. I mean, this is five it's better generations.
Than being, it's better than being. That's a lot. It's true. It's insane.
What year do you think I was born?
Well, you know, each of us are required to have a child at the age of 12. So it's not as long as you think it is. That's just a family tradition.
The cycles go quicker.
It's a Dillywacker, Dillywacker family tradition. To whacker with your dilly by 12, you silly little whack attacker. Yeah. Was a saying that never really caught on in the family. And
what was the dilly hobbler? What was that?
Dilly hobbling is when your whacker has been hurt, and so you're hobbling around on your dilly. You look silly. And, you know, it was, again, I was the good grandson.
The old hobbling goblin.
Which was much better. Do I wish I was the great grandson?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's better than being... my youngest brother, Farley, spelled F-A-R-L-I-E, who was known as the fugly grandson of Frank Dillywacker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was my great grandfather who birthed you.
Well, this is, I mean...
And you were only in St. Louis for how long?
Just 3 days.
That was commonly... What happened when he delivered babies?
Oh, no, wait. I was here for about 2 months before my parents moved. I'm only in town this time for 3 days.
I
just to investigate this.
I mean, I know that.
Okay.
I'm here with you.
Yeah, that's true.
In town.
Especially right now.
For 3 days.
Yeah, but for God's sake, this is really a revelation.
Well, it's certainly a revelation, and it might even be a revolution of new thoughts taking over the old thoughts in your mind.
Does the phrase hobgoblin mean anything to you?
Not at all. Not even
hobgoblin gobbler?
I don't think
so. Okay, okay, just making sure. Because one of those two phrases was inscribed on the bottom of hobbler. My foot.
Is, well, and that's the other reason a lot of children leave within a couple of months, because Frank Dillywacker, you know, most people slap the butt of the child to get it to...
Yeah, to get it to breathe.
Frank Dillywacker would just go, "Get out within 2 months!"
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a way for him to sort of scare the baby into breathing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I'll tell you this, it works.
It works.
Yeah.
It's
you're the good grandson of Frank Dillywacker. This is amazing. Hey, you know, I guess I'm not, is he still alive or is he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's 43.
Well, where is he?
I mean, we right have now? Kids at 12.
I found out, you know, you guys have a very he quick cycle.
He is 43 years dead.
Yeah. Okay. So he's not, maybe I could interview you since he's not here.
Were you going to do a podcast?
Yeah, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got the two microphones set up and the...
Yeah, okay, well, I might as well. I mean, I'm a little disappointed I wasn't able to meet Frank Dillywacker in person, but if I can... This is the next best thing to interview you.
I can take you to his grave and dig him up.
I don't think that'll be necessary.
That's an old Dillywacker tradition.
Yeah, I don't...
Dig up your great, 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 great grandfather and show his remains to whoever he birthed.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessary.
Old family tradition.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's what the hobgoblin goblin meant. I'm not sure. We'll try to get to
throw
the bottom of it.
Throw a couple pizzas in a barrel and set Auntie Elliot on fire, is what he used to say never.
if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. That was the phrase. I just did a show where they told me the phrases of the CEO that I should touch on. They said, you know, the phrase, the CEO of the company is very, you know, eccentric. He says very colorful phrases like, if your aunt had balls, she'd be your uncle.
Things I mean, that is so weird. Is that like an exclamation? You know, is it like, well, if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
I'm not sure how that kind of phrase.
Those are good prices. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure how useful that would be in the workplace. A phrase like that.
It can't be that.
Yeah, know. Yeah. But you know what we like to do when we do the show often is we started off with the triple banger lightning round.
Question no one.
Triple banger lightning round.
Is it better to let a skinny or a fat person decide where you eat?
Fat. If you're going out to eat and you're having a great, you want to have a great meal, yeah, you got to... Because also, fat people aren't just like, I'll throw whatever garbage in my mouth.
But you could say that they're less choosy about what they eat. You could look at it that way.
Maybe, or they prefer really delicious food. And
they know more about food. They've sampled it more.
They've eaten more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the skinny people, I just think they're just not... I don't know. They're going to direct you somewhere where it's the type of food they eat, and I don't know that you want
to
do that.
That's a conclusion I came to.
A heavyset person will go like, hey, look, you know, what are you in the mood for?
Yeah.
Because they eat it all.
I started my stand-up career in San Francisco. And
you
okay? Late,
you getting a good look at sort of my stomach and my hair and my legs?
I started.
It's really fun swimming with Cash.
I just saw you earlier today.
I know that.
In the
so
pool.
Go ahead.
I started my stand-up career in San Francisco, and I was just back there.
Oh, just outside of Steamboat Springs.
And there's a lot of great restaurants late night, this night that I was walking around after my show the other day. And I realized that I never had a good meal in San Francisco back when I lived there when I was starting stand-up, and I wondered why. And I thought about it, and the fellow that would always choose where we ate was a comedian who was not very... he was a very skinny guy.
He wasn't a portly fellow.
Exactly. And he was choosing where we ate every night, and we were just eating at shitholes. And I thought about it, and I thought maybe we were going in the wrong direction there. What do you think?
I mean, I prefer a fatter person's recommendation in general. You know, I just like it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
My question for you is, if you're a bad judge of distance, is everywhere just outside of Steamboat Springs?
Okay, here's.
I mean, if you have no idea, then if somebody says, "Well, I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina," you go, yeah. "Well, just outside of Steamboat Springs."
Yeah. Here's a question for. We're going to do an essential question of human nature. We're going to flip around today. We're going to flip
Let's
it.
Let's do it.
Flip it and dip it.
Essentially, this is essential questions of human nature.
We get caught up too often, just stuck on the bangers.
Let's dance around.
We got a lot of stuff to talk
Let's
about.
Let's dance
right now.
Around and go
okay,
underwater.
Okay, here's one. In terms of direction, is the guy at front desk at the hotel, this is an essential question, okay. Is he always delusional about how far and how much time it will take to get to the airport? Because when you ask someone at the front desk of a hotel, they'll be like, well, it's about 16 hours to get out there. Traffic can be pretty bad. And you're like, really? It took me 12 minutes to get here from the airport, you know? Have you found that to be true? That if you ask someone at the front desk, they have a real false sense of how hard it is to get to the airport.
Or they're wanting, they've gotten burned before by people calling back and going, you told me it was only going to take this long to get to the airport. And so they just
pad it.
They pad it
way too much. You can never trust them, right?
They pad it. You got to check your map.
Okay. Here's another one that's happening a lot.
Let's hear it.
The pilot, when the plane is landing, we are beginning our descent. I've found that's coming earlier and earlier because they just want everyone to not have to do anything, like the waitresses or the stewardesses, I should say. The waitresses. the airline attendants.
The air waitresses.
The air.
Air waitresses.
The air.
No.
Everything has to be so politically correct. They announce it now like 45 minutes early. What do you mean we're beginning our descent?
Yeah, and if it's a slow
descent, we're still over the Himalayas. Where are you going to land?
Cash often takes planes that go
right over the Himalayas. I can see Everest.
I mean,
on the rear tip.
I think you're right. They are doing it earlier.
The plane.
I think they
do it way too early.
They want to stay involved. They want you to be thinking about their flying.
I had an incident. This is a where were you?
When you weren't wherever you are now, where were you?
Yeah, we're moving all around.
All around. Where were you recently?
Yeah.
I had a little airport courage, but it was more like airplane courage.
Okay, interesting.
You ready for this one? I was with my wife, two kids. Right? Thanksgiving weekend. Getting off the plane. The people behind you have to wait for you to grab your bag, right? Right? People like that are behind you on the...
Of course.
Yeah. So the guy... So I got up, and he tried to scoot through. About four people had scooted past me.
Jeez.
This time I kind of pinned him a little bit with my rumpus, and I gave him a little elbow to the ribs.
Really?
Yeah.
So you acted like that was an accident?
Because he was being such a jerk about it. He's like, "Well, come on, what are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm getting my bag. This is how it works." And he started trying to push by me. So I
gave him the old rump and elbow.
I gave him the old rump and elbow, and then I elbowed him in the ribs. A lot of people were watching, and the airline attendant was pretty surprised. But it was airplane courage. I mean, no one really wanted to do anything about it. And he was about, 65, 70 years old. Is that inappropriate?
No, I think he should have busted his nose.
I think that would have been going to... You want to break something.
No, bust at his nose.
Oh, bust at his nose.
Mm-hmm. So if there are any empty dishes or empty glasses beneath his nose or around it, mm-hmm. then you bust at his nose.
Okay.
Don't go and bust tables somewhere else. Bust at his nose.
Okay. Well, I don't know if there was that kind of thing was, at my disposal to use any other things like dishes.
If you're an apple.
Yeah.
Okay. An apple picking season.
Yeah.
Is it... Home is where the cart is. The apple cart.
Yes. I would say yes.
That's a triple clanger frightening sound.
Where were you?
I was in New York City. And I was walking around. And that's that.
Yeah, nothing really happened out there with the walking?
Not really.
Okay, okay.
You know, I'll tell you exactly where it was. Okay, I went to this Asian massage parlor with Kate that's right near our house. Yeah. And I got a terrible massage. And it's so weird. She said, do you want it to be hard, medium, soft? I said, no, hard. Really go for it. And she, it was just barely kneading anything. Like, and I had to tell her, kind of, you know, stop moving around my skin and actually dig into my muscles. Then she did a little bit, and then I asked her for a jaw massage, and she was just, like, rubbing my beard.
Yeah.
She wasn't even massaging me. She was just... And finally I said, can you just do a little harder? And then she was great. So I don't know if I needed to give her more instruction, or you just have to hope for a better... But that was a massage where she wanted to do full 45 minutes. I was trying to get out of there at 40 minutes.
Yeah, because it was like a spider walking across your back.
Maybe I could go and
It was like a daddy long legs walking across your back.
Daddy long legs came home for Christmas. He's spinning a web of lies about the Christmas elf.
That's pretty much all it was, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just don't know if it's appropriate, but I think it is to just be like, go hard or really get it done. But
I think it is. I think you're paying. You got to be able to feel it, right?
Yeah, you got to. You know, I think it's laziness. I think she just, you know, and some people are like that about the jobs. I don't get it, but anyway, you know,
I
she tried to give me a handy man.
No.
Handyman.
A handyman.
So he tried to give me the number of a handyman that she works with, and he's going to come back and, you know, hang a couple of pictures, fix the banister, and jack me off. Sometimes we find the good ones.
So I got home from my trip, and I was walking with socks on my stairway. With both bags, and I fell down a flight of stairs.
Jesus.
And it knocked myself out. I slammed my head against my face against the railing. Look, you can see there's like a little scar here.
Oh my God.
And I was bleeding, and I woke up and I was at a concussion. I don't know what I had, but I was just sitting there. And this is the sort of thing that can happen. You wear socks on the stairway, and you don't have any hands free. You don't have any hands free, and it's a hardwood floor, and you just go down the whole thing. And I hit my face on the railing, and I mean, I knocked myself out.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And it could have been worse. What's funny is my wife. I passed out. There was blood all over. My wife was like, "Could have been worse." I'm like, "It could have not happened at all." You know, you could look at it that way too. But here's my question to you. I mean, once you're falling down flights of stairs. It's kind of the start of the end, right? I mean, like, I never fell down a flight of stairs before.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You got to walk. So I almost slipped in the shower the other day. I mean, it's, you know, you got to walk softly.
It didn't seem to happen when I was a kid. I never fell down a flight of stairs.
Why are you wearing socks?
Anyway? I know. That wasn't smart.
But why?
Yeah.
Like, I either like and I did remember the my shoes.
You remember the grease that I greased up the chimney with? I put that on the stairway.
That's not going to help.
Just for fun.
You were wearing your old grease socks.
We had just made a slip and slide out of the stairway, and so I kind of forgot about that.
So, do you...
But here's my question to you, TJ Miller. This is a serious question. I started to kind of contemplate my funeral. And I'm just really concerned that, like, not enough... Yeah, you want to?
No.
Yeah, you want to keep talking?
Yes.
Okay, TJ's getting something from the nurse. Yeah, okay. He's getting something from the nurse here.
Nurse Betty! Jesus, woman, don't. Golly.
Oh, boy.
Whoa! Daddy came home early for Christmas.
I've been thinking lately about my funeral. And
tell me,
I just feel like there's not going to be as many people there as I'd prefer. So do you think it's inappropriate? This is an essential question to send out a save the date for your own funeral.
Essentially, this is essential questions of human nature.
I think you should be committing suicide. That would be great.
A save the date.
I really think all of us should commit suicide.
Well, yeah, I know you've got that theory to choose your own death is a powerful thing, and it's an interesting theory.
And then you could choose your funeral and decide who to invite, and it would be so funny if people were like, "I didn't even get an invite from TJ to his funeral." I gotta write that one down, Dad.
Write it down. But here's the thing: I don't feel like I have to. Is it inappropriate to pad the numbers, to flimsy up the numbers a little bit with the funeral? I really am thinking like I might want to. Like, get maybe some of the 12 and a half to come, or like get some.
Oh, yeah. Because
I feel like it's going to be a bummer. Most of my friends are pretty lazy.
Yeah.
That I've made in my lifetime. Partially, that's why maybe I love my friends, is they're easygoing, but also that lends itself sometimes to laziness. I don't think anyone's coming to my funeral. I think it's going to be a real low turnout. And I think it's going to seem like my life wasn't really that, you know, impactful. So, what about central casting? Would you cast people at your funeral? Is that going too far?
I think you do that. I think you get. I've always wanted, and I may do this.
What kind of world is Kobe? What kind of world would Nancy Grace or Kobe Bryant have where their funeral attendance is going to be bigger than mine? Nancy Grace. Her attendance is going to out. She's going to have a lot of people.
God, she's horrible.
She's going to have a lot of people.
I wish she was dead right now.
Is that any kind of
I would go to her funeral and puke in the casket and then close the casket and let it fester on her face for a couple of weeks.
Is that any kind of barometer to what kind of life you lived? How many people show up to your funeral? I don't think it's going to be big.
I'd make animal shit kombucha and pour it in her eyes. you know, and I think you got to send some uninvites to your funeral. So that's don't come to
save
my
the
funeral.
Date. Don't save the date.
Don't save the dates.
Are there un-evites? Where you're like, there don't come
be.
To this thing?
There should be, don't that's you think?
I mean, it's a. I don't know. It seems a little hurtful.
Uninvite to your funeral is the greatest slight you
at the end
give
of your life.
Human me.
Uninvite. Yeah. Like, hey, we weren't that close. I don't want you besmirching my funeral.
I want you out of the house and in the Duane Reade parking lot by midnight tonight, or I am going to burn and eat your son.
I mean, I don't know. I'm a little worried about it. I do think we should all do it beforehand, whether you commit suicide or not. I'm wondering if I should just do it, since I just fell down the stairs, if I should just do it soon. Just have an early funeral.
No,
just do it soon. Well, At least you get to see everybody.
I've always wondered.
That's why the wedding is so awesome. It's the last time you see everyone together.
What about a funeral before you go off to die? We might do that. We might have a funeral, say goodbye to everybody, and then go to Greece and commit suicide together.
Mm-hmm. Me and you?
No.
Because I hadn't heard about that.
I wouldn't say actually just got not a even bunch commit of suicide. Sort of end our lives together, Kate mm-hmm. and me at the same time. Okay. I've thought about that, about if she... I thought about if she... I don't know, that if she was going to die, then I might take my life along with her, you know?
What is that?
Nurse Betty, get out of here!
Okay.
Wow, golly.
Here's something I'd like to say at a funeral of someone I don't like. I'd like to say at some point, sometimes bad things happen to bad people. How come that's not a phrase? It's always sometimes good things happen to, or bad things happen to good people, but it's never just, you know what? It's more optimistic and positive to say, you know what? Sometimes bad things happen to bad people.
And nobody ever says, sometimes good things happen to bad people, but that's true. That's also true.
No, people say that.
Sometimes bad things happen to good people.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
They don't say sometimes good things happen to bad people. Now, you can take that, put it in your pipe, and don't smoke it. It's cancerous.
Let's move it along to... practical living in the modern age?
Sure.
I don't have it here, but I think it'll get added in later.
In an inefficient and out-of-date way, we bring you practical living in the modern age.
When you have nothing in common with someone, you're just trying to keep the conversation going.
Right.
I hope I, if you know a lot about sports, and I hope I don't offend anyone I've done this with, but I just act like I'm a huge fan of the sports team that they're a fan of.
Are you able to do that? You know enough about
I know enough, and I'll everything. Just call back somebody. I'll just be like, oh, I've been a...
Marlins.
And because there's a lot of teams I don't dislike. Okay, yeah, name a team. Just name a team.
The San Francisco Giants.
Well, no, that's not good. Name a team, and I'll act like I've been a fan my whole life.
The Dodgers is my favorite.
Don't do that one.
Yeah! I know enough about him to really get his goat, that's Papa!
That's the one I won't do it with.
All right, the Shit Blowers.
No,
it's a farm team in Houston. the Houston Astros.
Okay, Houston Astros. I'll say, God, I've been a Houston Astros fan my entire life. I was a huge fan of Jose Cruz when I was a kid. That's always how the speech starts. And like, and somehow I had an Astro hat, and somehow I just kind of ran with it. And I got their gear. I love Biggio. I actually went to the Hall of Fame when he was inducted, and Bagwell.
Yeah,
and
so I'm just a huge.
I mean, when Nolan Ryan pitched for them, wow, there a couple times really I actually flew out there. And I mean, I liked the Astrodome. I'm one of the few guys that liked the Astrodome. So I mean, as much as I love Minute Maid Field, I love the Astrodome. So let's do another one. And then they're friends with me.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So
what I mean? Oh, that's
okay,
great.
Do another one. Do another one.
The Denver Zephyrs. Yeah, that's a real team. That was our team. All right, Colorado Rockies.
The Rockies, I mean, you know, at first I was a little skeptical about the whole thing, but, you know, I played baseball in Colorado, and I got to tell you, Andrés Galarraga, and Larry Walker should be the Hall of Fame. I'll tell you that. In fact, I picketed outside Cooperstown to try to get Larry Walker inside the Hall of Fame. He might have been born in Canada. Cooperstown is where the Hall of Fame is. He might have been born in Canada, but he was raised at Coors Field. Let me tell you. So I love the Rockies. I've been loving the Rockies. You know what? I drink beer because of the Rockies. Yeah.
Not even Coors, in general.
Just Coors. Well, I started with Coors, and then I've branched Keir. Out. I started with Coors.
Coors beer. Coors.
So all you have to do is something about, and then you can bond with anybody nationwide.
Some Coors.
You know what? Because people feel comfortable when you do that. So let's try it in reverse.
What would be the equivalent for me?
Well, let's try it with sports and see if you can bullshit well enough.
Sure.
Well, I grew up in Detroit. I'm a huge Tigers fan.
Yeah, I mean, I have always seen a stick and thought that should hit a ball because, you know, there's an aspect of it where, and for me, the Tigers, Lions, and Bears are just the types of animals that should run around in a sort of diamond formation touching these bags. And I remember in 86,
yeah,
they used to try and touch every bag before going to the home plate. And that for me, the Tigers really roar when they score points and it's more points than their opponent at the bottom of the pyramids.
See, I don't know if we should do this with you. Maybe it should have to do with the, what is it that you know a lot about?
What is it that you know?
No,
like, a lot about that's
that, like,
isn't...
that other people are interested in. That have this, you can get the common ground with them and act like you're a fan of their
something. They well, not comic books.
Their music, maybe.
I don't really know much about music.
Okay,
we could try music. Try asking me about, you know, say your favorite. What's your favorite band?
Okay. Well, let's say I say I'm a big fan of Dire Straits.
Dire Straits is great. You know, people say the Beatles are the best band. Mm-hmm. For me, it's always been Dire Straits because I love their song and I love their dance and I love their instruments and they're just taller than a lot of other bands.
Oh, my God. This is great. We should have
They're the Red Hot. Here's how I do it. They're the Red Hot Chili Peppers of the Beatles, Rolling Stones.
They're the Red Hot Chili Peppers of England before they even knew there was a Red Hot Chili Peppers.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. I think we should have, I should lead bullshitting seminars.
You really
where
should.
Where we learn how to do this, even if you don't know about whatever you're talking about.
What would it be? What do I know a lot about? God, that's so depressing. I guess I'll ask K-8. I know a lot about K-8. If she was
my favorite person's Kate.
No, I like talking to her, and she's like, I just love Mediterranean food because of shishuka. And I'm like, yeah, you do, because you love eggs and you don't eat any kind of, you don't eat meat.
You just repeat back things you know about her.
I know all about her.
Yeah.
I could say that. What else? There's got to be something I know a lot about. Oh, I guess I mean circus or juggling.
Okay. 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 So, yeah, I passed through Cincinnati recently. And I guess, you know, and then you say something.
Whenever
about
I
the
think about
there.
Cincinnati. That's how you're going to get to the circus?
No, I was just going to say, what do you do with that? Because okay, what I would do
say
is
it again,
I'd go.
Say it again.
Yeah, I just passed through Cincinnati recently.
Yeah, Dire Straits for me is the circus of rolling hot peppers. And altogether, I got to say that the Tigers play ball, they win ball, and sometimes they lose ball.
Yeah, see, I would just see. That's the thing. It's easier with sports. I
what
would
about
just say,
if sports? I go look. You know, like, my dad the was Tigers. They play to win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They don't. When they're down, they don't stay down. They try and get back ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ultimately, if they lose, they'll play another game unless it's the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to work with you. I don't think so.
I got to figure out what
I
I'm
like doing it
in.
Too. I actually enjoy doing it. I've been doing it this week in St. Louis. I've been doing it all week.
I mean, I think movies.
Okay,
probably so, maybe
yeah.
Films.
So you can say you can bond with people over that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
All right. Wow, this is so depressing.
Okay, we're gonna do another essential questions of human nature.
Or it's that I can kind of bullshit through anything. Mm-hmm. I know enough about everything that I can pretend to be an expert.
Yeah. Well, you're a very gregarious guy, who I don't think has as much problem bonding with people actually as I do. I'm serious. I have more of a problem, like, small talking with people, I think.
Really? No,
yeah.
You're very, very good.
I'm a little introverted at times, you know, when I meet people. And the sports angle doesn't take a lot of energy, really. And I can get it on a topic away from comedy, too, because I don't like the comedy questions.
I just asked Kate, I go, am I an expert in anything? And she said, comedy. And making private parts feel good.
Oh,
that's
did she write
good.
That?
Yeah.
God, I really, that was titillating. That was was probably one of the most, yeah.
She's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's a good one. Wow. I don't think I'd
she
get
she says, surprise love gestures. Can you imagine trying to make that work? Somebody's like, yeah, I'm actually from Dallas. I'm like, you know, what a great thing to do in Dallas is you tell a woman, you say, you know what? People think I'm all hat, no cattle. And then you bring her to a field and you show her all these cattle that you bought for her. And then if you step in shit, you say, look at the bottom of my shoe, that's you. She said, impossibly burping.
Okay, well, I don't, yeah, you're an expert.
And that's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, so, okay, yeah. So now ask me anything. Ask
okay,
me anything.
Okay. Hey, you know, I'm from Boston.
So those are a couple of the burps that I've done in Boston. And the first two were from New England clam. Yeah,
those.
I learned those burps in Boston.
So I've always felt an affinity
Boston
for it.
Boston clam chowder.
Because you have to start the comment by asking, Boston's my
beans.
Favorite city. You know, for me, I'd be like, I love the you know, the Celtics. And then you just mention all the Celtics that you know.
I just said to her, really seriously anything, and she hasn't written back.
Okay. Well, she's thinking about it. I thought the private parts thing was a nice compliment. It shows, you know, things are going well with you, too.
Things are going okay.
Things are going really well. Let's move along to one more essential question. Mm-hmm. You ready? Mm-hmm. You listening?
Yeah.
Teach, here we go.
Yeah, don't say that on the...
Mm-hmm. What's
don't
that?
Don't say that on the podcast, okay. And I'm not okay. Listening. I'm looking at maskers.
Okay.
Kate just said juggling.
Oh, that's a good one.
No, we just said that, and it's so... We just said that,
yeah.
And no one...
Oh, I thought she wrote that already, juggling.
No, she said juggling.
If you say, I've always had an affinity
observing
for...
people, pointing out the absurdity of life and loving me. None of these things are helpful.
Now, if you say, okay, I say, I'm from Seattle. And you go, I love Seattle. Seattle's a place I learned to juggle. But the problem is the other person needs to be an expert at the same thing. That's why sports are so easy. It's got to be a simple thing you're an expert at that they're an expert at also. Just in their town. Maybe the restaurants of each city or...
Oh, I can do that.
You know what I mean?
I can do that. I can talk generally about... You know what? I'm actually an expert at cities.
Oh.
That's really real because okay. I travel so much.
So I'm from Seattle.
So I know about travel. Yeah, I love Seattle. You know, a lot of people say that it is, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, you know, it's really raining, but it's not as rainy as people say. And sometimes it's nice to have an overcast day. I think it's really fun that Space Needle makes for a great skyline. But, you know, that's not what Seattle is. Seattle right now is, first of all, the tech is exploding. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and that has a lot to do with the internet economy, that people can live wherever. Because Seattle's like Portland, except Seattle's a little more touchy, and but Portland thinks they're cool. They got a sense of humor about themselves, but I think Seattle's actually funny.
Yeah.
And in some ways, Seattle is the Pac Northwest version of Pittsburgh to me, because they've got the culture, they've got great food, but people don't think Seattle when you think great city, and it is a great city. Try another.
Well, and wouldn't you say that Ken Griffey Jr. was a national treasure?
I don't know who the fuck that is. All right, try another. Okay. Anyway.
How about Kansas City?
I love a lot of my family is from Kansas, Southeast Kansas, you know, Pittsburgh, Parsons, my grandfather, my great grand.
Are these good father?
It's a great grand good father. Yeah. And he went to school in Wichita. But I love Kansas City barbecue is better than any. Everyone claims barbecue. Texas says we got great barbecue. Yeah. St. Louis says we got great barbecue. Arthur Bryant's in Kansas City. I know it's a chain now. I know that they've opened a lot of them. But Arthur Bryant's, that pulled pork, and they serve it on the Wonder Bread. There's just nothing better. And it's also a great blues town. They got blues, and they got great jazz. And Kansas City's really come up in its own. All right, try another.
And Freddie Patek, I think he was a national treasure.
What the fuck are you talking about? All right, do another. Do a more esoteric one.
Okay. How about...
I mean, really, kind of dig deep.
All right. I'm from Burlingame.
Burlingame?
Yeah.
Well, you're a fucking loser, buddy. Now get out of my apartment. Oh, it's your apartment? Well, I'm leaving. No, pick like a small town that not a lot of people would know about.
Okay, how about...
But the listeners have heard of.
Okay, how about Klamath Falls, Grants Pass. How about Ashland?
Ashland, North Carolina?
Ashland.
You don't even know where the fuck the state is.
Yeah.
Say something like Savannah or Charleston or like an actual city where people are from. That's too easy.
Okay. I gotta pick.
I shot thing. Underwater there. I got family in Metairie. I love beignets. We used to live in the Quarter. Kate
and I. How about Des Moines?
Des Moines fantastic, and I'll tell you, Des Moines is a lot like Omaha in that it's a really intellectual city. They got a lot more culture than people think, and people think, oh, Iowa. Well, actually, Des Moines is more than just, you know, corn. It's first of all, Megan O, my best friend, is from Des Moines, Iowa. And I got another friend, Jeff Grace, from Des Moines. And Cedar Rapids, Iowa, is kind of a little town, but Des Moines feels like an actual city, but it's still got that small town feel. And I just think, you know, it's not like Idaho. Idaho's a little bit, they are a little more rural. You know, it's kind of country bumpkin there, even though it's a city. You know, I'm talking about Boise. And, but, you know, exactly. Boise isn't like Des Moines. Des Moines is, for me, closer to Omaha, Nebraska. It's the heartland. It's people
like
that work really hard,
but
they're smart. And, and you know, the University of Iowa is a great, they got a great, they got a fantastic theater department. And I knew somebody who went to graduate school for theater in Iowa, and she was one of the best actors I ever met.
See, you don't need the sports.
It's cities.
It's a bummer for me.
It's cities.
If I was like you, I wouldn't even need this. I wouldn't even need the sports.
It is. It's travel and it's cities. Watch, say someplace in the world. Say anywhere, like a city in the world.
Nepal. Yeah.
Always wanted to go to India, but I've been to the Philippines and Bali. I don't know if you've ever been to Bali. But for me, Nepal, it would be the Indian food. That would be most interesting to me because when I was in China, I was much younger, but I always remember that the Chinese food there wasn't as good as the Chinese food in the United States. So I would be really interesting. What is the food like in India? Is it as good as Indian food here? Is Indian food here different?
I'm not sure. I know that it's a national treasure. I got to tell you that.
Oh, really? Can you name any of the high lie players out there?
I think some of that food should be at the Hall of Fame.
Your sports analogy just got trumped by travel. Because
I know.
It's
not going to work in Nepal. Listen, we got to go.
If I say to you, hey, you know, I'm from Hong Kong, what the fuck do you know?
Well, all I would do is talk about traveling as close as I could to that area. That's probably how I would try to bullshit.
No, but I'm saying your sports doesn't work.
Yeah, the sports doesn't work outside the U.S. That's true. Works in Canada, U.S.
cities.
Yeah.
I got it. I know a lot about different cities.
Yeah. Okay, we got to finish up with Masters.
Like 85% of superheroes, this is Masters.
We only have a few seconds left, but Jiminy.
We only have a few seconds left, so we're going to do them all right away.
Jiminy How do you Christmas, do this? Right. Is Father Christmas Santa's dad?
Father, it should be Father Time. Is Father Time Santa's dad?
Okay.
Do they call it Santa Father Christmas?
Okay. This was Jimothy Criscuit, right?
It's a great Santa's handle, not the best masker.
Snail
not
Trailing writes, better things to fill a pinata with, gravy, bees, or smaller pinatas. I like that. How come there's not smaller pinatas inside the pinatas?
I've always wanted to do that. I mean, I like, you know, Nick Vatterott's like this too, but I like a box within a box. That's why I wear a tiny hat under a regular hat.
What are those called? Babushkas?
I got some new ones. No. But you know what? Who I think should be in the Hall of Fame? Babushka. Babushka Mamushka.
Oh, that guy could hit.
We got some real, did you know, should asking maskers questions about masks be called masker baiting? Mm. And that's literally baiting me into getting upset about masks. That is Seth Harris at Seth_Harris03. I think, guys, give him a follow. He's got 17 followers. That was brilliant. Xanerhood writes, at Xanerhood, saying please and thank you to Alexa, polite or pre-submissive to the robot overlords?
We were just talking about this.
I think pre-submissive to the robot overlords.
I agree.
You don't need to say, you agree. Tell your
We were just
device
talking
thing.
About that. We were talking about the device that we record the show with, and when I turn it off, it always says, goodbye, see you later. And I don't like it when computers try to act like we're friends. It feels like an invasion of my space a little bit. So I don't like that. Let's see. Travis Kenny wrote, I've used If We Stay Here, the Party Dies to several Christmas parties just so I can make an early exit. Now, I hope you did it like this. If we stay here, the party dies. And then you know.
And
I think
true.
That's a, or you say, it's time now to matriculate down the waterfront towards the fireworks.
You got to yell like you're running out of air.
The party dies. And then everyone leaves.
All right. If you're, okay. So they said that one.
Hold is on. A chair, this is Max Z, is a chair a butt ladle?
Is a chair, a chair is a butt ladle. That's a great one. Who wrote that?
That was Max Z.
Propers to Max Z. FCNU Fashion Diversity writes, female maskers are usually heterosexual married men who have turned their fetish into a lifestyle by dressing up in latex masks that cost up to $500. Find out more at research.northumbria.ac.uk/FCNU Fashion Diversity. Hashtag maskers. Hashtag diversity. That's the first time we've ever had maskers mean something that isn't like Norwegian.
Hey, the Max Z, this was a triplicate. There were three ladle questions. Is the letter J the ladle of the alphabet?
Is the letter...
Yeah, but I think L is pretty close. Max Z also writes, is a dustpan just a sweeping ladle?
A dustpan is a sweeping ladle. Or it's a dust ladle.
Yeah, the old dust ladle.
The old dust ladle. Was the person who named this is Dick off the Cheney?
Mm-hmm.
What? Was the person who named garden gnomes illiterate for not making them lawn leprechauns? Wow, that's great. Why don't we have lawn leprechauns?
Lawn leprechauns.
I mean, babushkas. That's Corey on the web at
babushkas,
Corey on the web.
Lawn babushkas.
Nope, absolutely not. Better thing to fill up. Oh, no, you did that one. Is someone pulling the Hitler card on you really an insult if you're modeling your life on Adolf Hitler? I'm afraid it's that's a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
If you pull the Hitler card, or you say you're worse than Hitler, they're probably like, "Oh, that's
Dale at Broman Dale writes, kids in Canada who can get who get a 4.0 on the report card, straight A's.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. If Gorberger came, this is Bradford Elliott. If Gorberger came over for dinner, what do you think he would like to eat besides my family? And the answer to that is you. Also, he would eat your family and you because of the bloodlust. Oh, and then Jen Extremist writes, I have two wives whom I treat equally, and that's bigamy. And that's funny, but it's not a question, and it's somebody else's joke.
Okay.
Oh, this is a great one, Max yeah. Z. I'll end with this one.
Okay.
Actually, these are great. How tall is TJ in units of pretzel lengths? That's maskers. That's great. That's snail trailing. Follow-up. Could TJ eat his height in pretzel lengths? That's the truth. And I might try and eat this Presto pizza, which is the Prestosaurus.
Yeah.
It's 6 pounds of pizza. And I might try and do it tomorrow. I'm not sure yet.
We'll let you know how that
Maybe
goes.
Maybe I try and do it tonight after the shows. All right, Willow 2021 writes, are those people in a dollar Christmas hat who aggressively ring that annoying bell at you when you enter a supermarket just legal extortionists? No, I think they're charitable. I like New York because the Salvation Army people, they're all performers. New York is full of performers, so they all dance and they do all this stuff. Oh, wait, it looks like I got to get back into the ER. Finally, Max Z, A-Hole Sour,
A-Hole Sour
writes,
yeah.
Is the letter J the ladle of the alphabet? Yeah. Yes.
All right. Have good luck with the surgery, buddy.
Thanks.
I'm not sure what you're doing, but it looks pretty serious.
I'm putting a baby back in.
Oops.